understand.
And you Southern people have a way of expressing yourself that we Northerners don't have. You can express your feelings, so I believe in a letter, there's a little thing that says Dizzle. And that's why Dizzle. I think it's the same about our brother and you people. I deem it a great honor to stand with God's heritage. I've often wondered what I would do if I had a few drops of the literal blood of the Lord Jesus in a charger to pack it in my hand. I just wondered what I would do with it, Brother Jeffrey, with the literal blood of the Lord Jesus. I thought how I would hold it, cherish it in my own life, not to spill or to destroy it in any way. But, do you know, in His sight, I have a greater than the blood of the Lord Jesus in my spirit tonight. That's the purchase of His blood, you. As He gave His blood, that you could be His. And therefore, He would cherish you more than He does His own life, His own blood, is because He gave His life to save you. And so then, when we meet each other and come into His presence for worship, we should come with just a feeling of His great august presence as we can worship and love each other. And how will I serve the Lord Jesus? I'll serve Him as I serve you. Now, I have four children here tonight, and I would rather, if any of us had to get a bawling out or a whipping, I'd rather you give it to me than you would to one of them. And a compliment, I'd rather it be on one of my children than on me. And that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus. He would rather that we would be kind to each other and show each other kindness. And don't draw any boundary lines of, well, I don't belong to this certain church. That doesn't matter to Him. He wants us to be brothers and sisters. And that's the reason that I think our churches hasn't progressed the way they have, is because the sectarian ideas have built fences between the sheep. I think we're all sheep of one pastor. And I think we should worship the Lord that way. Never have I had one time the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, to ever question me about what church. Now, He knows what church you go to, and He'll tell you that, see. But what a question, whether you should or shouldn't go to this church or that church, it never was questioned by Him. He'd tell you, well, you belong to the Methodist, or you're Presbyterian, or Catholic, or whatever. How many has ever been to a meeting here to do that? Let's see, in my meeting, raise up your hand, you, sure you have. And He might tell you that. But as far as saying you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do it wrong to this one, He never says that you should not do that. He just wants you to love Him, and that settles it. If you love Him, you know, love is the greatest force that we have, the most powerful force. Do you believe that? Love. Love will just do things that nothing else will do. And I usually tell this when my wife's not alone, but she happens to be alone tonight, and I might tell it now. And, you know, when I'm overseas or somewhere, she writes me a letter. She'll sit down and say, "Dear Billy, I stayed here tonight. I've just put the children to bed, and so-and-so." That's what she's telling me on the letter. But, you know, being that I love her the way she does, and she loves me, I can read between the lines. I know just what she means. Well, that's the way the Bible's written. You have to be in love with the author to be able to read between the lines. Because God promised, and He said that He had hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and would reveal it to babes such as would learn. You know that scripture, don't you? And so, if you want, it doesn't take a great degree in theology. It doesn't take a B.A. or a D.D. The only thing it takes is a humble heart surrendered to Him. And that's what does it. Some of you might know my good friend, the man that wrote my favorite song of him, Booth Clifford, William Booth Clifford, a wonderful principal among ministers, one of the best scholars I believe I ever met in my life, and a real Christian gentleman. About 5 weeks ago, we were together just before going into Mexico, Cliburn. He knows what a diplomat and how just precise he is with his grammar, and he can preach in 7 different languages. And old General Booth of the Salvation Army, that was, I believe, was his father, I believe it was, or some close relative to him. That's why he was named Booth. And he's an Englishman. And we were riding around together, he and I, and Mr. Moore, one of the managers. And he was telling me about certain Greek words and certain things and all, how he can tear it down. He can just preach in Greek or preach in Hebrew or anything he takes a notion to. So he said, Brother Brandon, don't that Greek word you know means this? I said, now, Brother Booth, don't go to speaking in unknown tongues to me because I can't interpret it. And he said, you know the reason you, that's the reason, he said, you don't know your Bible. So that's all. So if you can't speak Greek, you don't know the Bible. I said, Brother Booth, that might be wrong. I might not know the book, but I know the author real well. I said, that's the main thing. If you know the author, he'll take care of the book part for you. And so that's the way we love him tonight, and it brings it down to a simple person as I has the right to be saved. And no matter how much education, you might not be able to write your own name. Did you know St. Peter the Apostle could not write his own name? You know the Bible said he was ignorant and unlearned? Did you know that? Peter, the one who had the keys to the kingdom, we're told, that's historically, and I don't know, it might be mythical, that he wouldn't even know his own name if Israel before him. But the Bible declares that he was ignorant and unlearned. But they had to take heed to him because they knew his name was Jesus. That's the main thing. That's the mark. Get the mark of be with Jesus. It doesn't take smart people. It takes surrendered hearts to know the Lord Jesus. Now, tonight, here in the church, I have just learned this today sometime by some of the brethren that's with me. That brother here has just opened up this revival center. And I didn't even know Brother Jeffries. I met him my first time. I'm not saying that name right, is it? Is it Jefferson?
Yes.
Jefferson. I didn't even know him. And until I met him on the platform the other night. I find him to be a real fine brother. And I'm trusting that God will bless this old theater where used to be the devil's church, and now it's turned into God's church. And I say, if that theater man's here, he'll probably want to pull me for that. Well, listen, I come now for healing service. But one of the greatest disgraces that even from the files of the FBI, it can prove that America started her decline by the movie pictures. Exactly right. Not being censored and all this year stuff they put out before young girls and things like that. Now, the devil put it in every home through television. Now, the television's a fine thing if it's used right. So is the picture's a fine thing if it's used right. But uncensored programs and things like that, it's disgraceful for the way it is. It's absolutely put the wrong thing before the American people. And that's where, of course, we realize now that we're on the decline. And as far as I can see the historical ahead of us, we're continually going on. So every great nation has to fall. I stood by on the Egyptian ground where the pharaohs once ruled. We'd have to dig 20, 30 feet to find some of the ruins of some of the greatest kingdoms of the world. I stood in Rome where the great Caesars stood, and they all fell. And I stood in and London were the great man in different places around the world, and their kingdoms fall. And remember, there's every kingdom of this world has to give away, all mortal has to give away to immortality. I stood by a tree when I was a little boy, that great maple in our country. What a great tree it was. I thought that tree would always be there. And that's been about 35 years ago, and today it's a snag. Just goes to show that here we have no continuing city, but we're seeking one that'll come. Our great nation will fall someday and crumble just exactly like all other nations, because the kingdom of God shall come someday. Jesus shall set up a kingdom here that'll be an everlasting kingdom. And we're looking for that. All people, we love our nation, the greatest nation under the heaven. If it wasn't, I'd be, so I'd get the greatest nation. But I'm glad to be an American, but I'm sorry to see it demoralizing and corrupting and going down with vice and sin the way she's thinking tonight. And that's why we're preaching the gospel and trying everything that we can to sane out every soul that God would have saved before the great climax comes. That's our reason of being here tonight. There will come a time when there won't be any Charlotte. There won't be one stone left upon another. There'll be a time that these hills will shake and crumble. But you'll be somewhere. And tonight may be the time for you to decide where you'll be at that time. You're a free moral agent. You can make your decisions. And now, on the ministry that I introduced, now I know this Bible scholar sitting here and perceiving, coming in even last night, that it's a smart, intelligent people that I'm speaking to. And the ministry will certainly be a difference of what you've ever perhaps looked at the Scripture. And I want to get right down to your heart and have a heart-to-heart talk with you. And for the next night or two, perhaps, as I have said that I'm weak in my throat and 4 months straight without any rest at all and got to go to Alaska immediately after this, then I get a couple weeks of rest before returning back for the big Cato Tabernacle 11,000 just in Indianapolis, Indiana. Then to the Christian businessman over in Minneapolis. Now, the first thing I want you to do is I want to make myself clear that I don't belong to any denomination or church. And I've got, and by the way, I want to thank this brother Parson. The other day, they had taken up a love offering for me at the end of the meeting. Didn't have to do that. I don't come for love offerings. I come to try to help. But he did. And in there, he made me an honorary clergyman of their society. So I appreciate that if any of his people were here to tell him how they didn't know he put it in a little check. And he'd give it to my boy. And they gave it to me on my road home. Thank you. I'm very glad to have that honor. And I have honorary degrees, of course, from many different places, just people. You know, not long ago, somebody was trying to give me a doctor's degree at the Hindu church in India. Now I said, now, wouldn't that look nice for an old boy raised on black-eyed peas and hominy grits, sorghum molasses and biscuits to get up there and use such English as I do, such grammar, and then say, Dr. Whittaker. I said, people are too intelligent for that. See? No, there's only one thing I want to know. One thing I do know. There's a great big black door set before me, and it's before every mortal here and every mortal in the world. Every time our heart beats, we get one closer to it, and that's death. And when I get to the end, when my heart's making its last beat, I don't want to come there as a coward or a deceiver. I want to come there with this one thought in my mind. I know him in the power of his resurrection, that when he calls out, I'll come from among the dead. That's my one alternative, is to know him in the power of his resurrection. Now, this is his word, and we want to approach it. There's just anybody that's able to open it up like this could open it, but there's only one who can really open it, and that's Christ, the Holy Spirit. It was written by several different men, set through ages, and every bit of it dovetailed together, and not one contradictions in the Word. Not one. And it's all given by inspiration. Therefore, there's no man able to open the book or to loose the seal thereon, as John saw it in the Revelation, but one that had been slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb, come and took it out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne and was worthy to take the book and to loose the seals and to open it. And let's speak to him tonight before we try to open his book and ask him if he'll open it to us, the author, the Lord Jesus, while we bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for this place that we have to worship the beloved Lord Jesus. And we come to thee in his name, asking favors, Lord. We're constantly asking because we're walking in a dismal, dark world full of sin and trouble, lying, deceiving spirits everywhere, as you predicted that would be in the last day. And we come humbly, reverently before thee to ask for mercy and guidance and grace. We thank thee for the brother Jeffers here, and for all the ministers that's present, the shepherd over the flock where the Holy Spirit has given them the overseer job. And I pray that somehow tonight, dear God, that you'll get right down deep into their hearts. Reveal yourself in a new and living way to them, each one. Bless their ministry. May they become a greater shepherd and have more sheep to watch over. Grant it, Father. Bless all the laity here. You're a beloved sheep of the pastor. Every church that's represented, we pray, God, that a great revival will break out in each one. And all together, the lovely one will come to every denomination. May there be a sweeping revival across this country this coming year that will shake the other nations. Grant it, Lord. Start it right here, won't you, Father? Begin here in Charlotte tonight with an old-fashioned revival in every church. May this weekend find churches just filled full of people, sinners weeping their way up to Calvary, repenting, and great signs and wonders appearing. Grandfather, now open the book to us. It may be in a new way, in a life of the gospel, for we ask this in His name, who said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Thy beloved child, the Lord Jesus. Amen. In the book of the Gospel according to St. John, and beginning at the 12th chapter, and the 20th and 21st verses, I wish to read this little the text here, and may God give us the context from it, that in doing so, that He'll bless His Word. We know this, if we read His Word, it will not return void. It'll accomplish that which it was purposed for. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same therefore came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. May the Lord add His blessings to that word. And for our for the text tonight, we would use Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's try to be just as reverent and listen and pray as we approach these things. Now, in the Word of God, many times we set our rules and regulations of just certain things that's to take place. And if it happens contrary to the way that we think it should be, then we say it's not right. Now, brethren and friends of Christ, did you know that's the reason the Jews in the first coming of the Lord Jesus failed to recognize Him because He came contrary to what they had figured out of Him coming? They expected a Messiah to be different, but He come exactly according to the Scripture. But it wasn't according to their theology, their teachings. And you know, I believe if He would come tonight, it would be altogether different than what we've got to figure out He'll come. He always seems to do it, but yet it's straight with the Scripture. See, they was expecting Him coming in His second coming, His great power, which then He will come for them and for us. But we know in His first coming, He was to come lowly, riding on a mule, coming in the city, and how even His disciples didn't understand that. And how it is tonight that sometimes things happen, and if it doesn't just equal up to what our church teaches, then we want to throw it out and say there's nothing to it. But you know, the thing we ought to do sensibly is to look at it in the light of the Scripture. Now, I believe that every Bible teaching, or every church, and every revelation. Listen, everything must be built on this Word. If anybody teaches anything contrary to the Word, I wouldn't believe it. See, this Bible is God's foundation. No other foundation can be laid but that in which is already laid, Christ Jesus. Now, knowing Yerk was Baptist Presbyterian,
Pentecostal, Nazarene, Catholic, and all mixed together. And each one is saying, well, now my church teaches this. That's fine. We're so happy for that. But let's look at us and see by the Word of God just what it teaches for this day, for a message for this day. Each one of us are familiar with our church doctrines. Well, now, that's very good. I appreciate you, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, and all your doctrine. I appreciate that. That's fine. I believe that too. Every bit of it. I believe everything you teach from the Scripture is right. But now, in the Old Testament, there was three ways of knowing a message. The first, it was the law. The second, it was a prophet. And the third was a dreamer. And then they had a way of proving that, whether it was just exactly right or not. Now, in the Aaronic or Levitical priesthood, on Aaron's breast plate had 12 stones. And it's not exactly known by the scholars whether it was a reflection of the 12 stones together or a certain sacred light that when a prophet prophesied or a dreamer told his dream or whatever it was, and these supernatural lights didn't flash on this what was called Urim Thummim. And if this supernatural light didn't flash and give witness to that, well, then it was wrong. No matter how true the prophet was or how real the dreamer was or whatever the revelation was, it had to be witnessed by the Urim Thummim. If it wasn't true. Any scriptural scholar knows that. Now, in the Aaronic priesthood, or the Levitical priesthood, that priesthood was done away with, and the Urim and Thummim of that time ceased. But in this new priesthood, the Bible is God's Urim Thummim. And if a revelation comes, a prophet prophesies, a church is established, a doctrine is made, and it don't flash on the Bible, then it's wrong. This is God's Urim Thummim. We must listen to the Word. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that that Bible is written by inspiration. And I believe every word of it is God's living Word. And you can rest your eternal destination on any word that's written in the Bible. Now, the thought comes this. If we believe, I want to know how many here first believes that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. Let's see your hand. Thank you. How many believe that He has risen from the dead? Let's see your hand. Now, surely, if I was risen from the dead, was then died and it rose again, I would be visible. I would be to a place that you know I was here. And if Jesus has risen from the dead, surely there ought to be some way that we would know that He had raised from the dead. Here, as I said a few weeks ago or a few days ago, down to Spindale, the great Mr. Reedhead, vice president or president one of the great Sudan missions, the fundamental missions, one of the greatest in the world. He was conquered by Muhammad. They give him that question. And said, if He has risen from the dead, where is He? Prove it to we, Muhammad. But until you prove it, then He's in the grave just like Muhammad is. And Dr. Reed had tried to give him all the scripture and everything. He said, but look, see? Said, Muhammad only promised life after death. And said, your Jesus promised that you teachers would do the same thing He done. Said, now that was His promise. And I want to show you the little loophole that Dr. Reed had tried to squeeze through. He said, I suppose you mean Mark 16, where He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, these signs shall follow them that believe, heal the sick and perform signs. Yes, that's one of them, he said. He said, but sir, you see, we better scholars of the Scripture, we learn that Mark, the 16th chapter, from the 9th verse on, is not inspired. It was just added. And old Thomas stood and said, "Kind sir, what kind of a Bible do you read?" But a part of it's inspired, and the rest of it's uninspired. Said, "I'll let you know that all the Koran's inspired." What a disgrace to Christianity. This is all inspired too. I don't believe the Koran is inspired. I believe this is the only inspired book there is in the world. And every promise in it is true. If I can't meet the issue, I'll say that I haven't got faith enough to do it, but yet His word is true. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God's able to deliver us from these, this fiery furnace, but nevertheless, we wouldn't bow to the image. That is true. The Bible is God's inspired word. Now, these Greeks come with a question that I believe that every human being, since Jesus is crucified, that's had any touch or feeling towards God, would ask the same question that they asked there. Sir, we would see Jesus. I believe that's the life or the desire of every Christian. And I believe that's the desire of every person here tonight. Is it? Let's see your hand. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, to me, and to the believer, any believer, this is either the truth or it is not the truth. It's either right or it's not right. And if it wasn't the truth, I would be somewhere else tonight besides here. I would be here. If I was against Him, I'd be preaching against Him. I'd be saying against Him. But I believe Him, and I believe he's the Son of God, and I believe He's raised from the dead. I'm for Him and ready to die for Him. Because it's the truth. And I know beyond one shadow of doubt that this is the gospel and it's the truth. And by God's grace, I can prove that it's the truth. And now, what we want to look at then, if Jesus has raised from the dead, can we see Him? Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, there's only one way to do it, and that's go and see what kind of person we would look for. If you were going tonight to see Jesus, if Jesus was in Charlotte tonight, what type of man would you look for? Would you go and look for some fella that was way up in some great high cathedral with real priestly looking clothes on, walk out? Would that be the kind of Jesus you was looking for? If it is, He has certainly changed since He was here on earth the last time. For He dressed just like ordinary man. He went in among men, in and out among men, and they didn't even know Him because He looked so common like other men. There was nothing any conspicuous about the Lord Jesus to look at Him. He would do a certain thing, that's the only way they'd know Him, by His miracles and the sign that He did. On the road from Emmaus after His resurrection. You see Him? Cleopas and his friend was walking with Him after His resurrection. And He was so plain yet until they didn't recognize Him until He'd done a certain thing like He used to do before He was crucified. They recognized it to be Him. You see it? Notice, He was not a man of great swelling vocabulary or words. He didn't overdo the thing. And I'm going to give you a little between the lines, if you can receive it. Scholars today are all turned around, this Greek word means this and that word means that. You know why? They are trying to make the Bible to the high sphere of the Greek or the Hebrew when Jesus didn't speak His words big like that. The Bible said the common people heard glad. We're supposed to speak English. And when I went to England, that I need to interpret there worse than anywhere I ever went in my life. I got with those Cockneys and Oxford group, and I was talking way down here in their throat. I couldn't understand what they were saying. A man trying to tell me how to go to the Abbey. I need an interpreter. You see, there's so much difference, even between the North and South here in America. I called from Houston, Texas, to up in New York, and the little southern girl with her talk, and the northern girl with her talk, they had to break it up somewhere in between here to get somebody to interpret for them. Right here in America. Sure, they couldn't understand each other. And Jesus talked with such simple language with the simple people, and it was written likewise, and they're trying to put those great, big, swelling, outstanding, hold on for dear life, as I call it, words in it, and they miss it. So it was wrote simple. Christ, so simple as it was to bring the gospel to the poor and needy. Amen. That's what makes him great to me. God sticks his chest out and thinks he's somebody. That shows how little he is to me. That's right. The more simpler you can get, the higher God will raise you. Just be simple. That's what's the matter with the American people. That's the reason we can have a service in Africa, India. And tens of thousands will be healed at once. But, oh, we got it all figured out. Dr. Jones, But she said it was this, and other doctors, so-and-so of our church, said it was mental telepathy. That's the reason you can't get nowhere. See? It's all, you make it so complicated when the gospel is so simple. It's just believing. That's all. Christ said, so that's mine. He gave it to me. I take him at his word. Now, that's how simple it is. So we wouldn't look for a fellow that looked like that he had taught Mr. Webster then. He wouldn't be a man that was so full of great words. He wouldn't dress any different. He wouldn't be up with a classic. Oh, he'd say, yes, he would. Well, if he has, then he isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he dressed different today like a priest or a rabbi, then he wouldn't be the same. If he used great swelling words today like the scholars, I'm not degrading education. I'm trying to get to a people. Look, sitting in this pit here. Look out in there, sick people. I'm trying to get to where they can see how simple it is. You're trying to look for something way off and try to educate yourself to it. When it's right here, you just step right on the top of it. See? You don't know God by education. You know God by faith. There was two trees in the Garden of Eden. One of them was the tree of knowledge. One was the tree of life. As long as man eat from this tree, he lived. But when he left this tree and bit his first bite off there, he separated himself from his maker. And he's been biting on it ever since. And we've even brought over and put it in church. You got to have so many degrees, or you have to say, man, a certain way, or you can't get to the platform. You have to have all your papers and everything to show what creed you're with and so forth before you can even come into a church almost. See how they got it? The devil's done that. Exactly right. Now, well, watch the lovely Jesus. That's the one we're looking at tonight. Now, we see that he didn't grow up in the classics. He was very humble. He didn't. What kind of a person was he? The Bible said there's no beauty we should desire. He was 30 years old and passed for 50. He probably is not a great big 7-footer with shoulders like barn doors. He wasn't that type. That's the type that they call a beautiful or handsome man, like Saul, with his big 7-foot something tall. But he was probably a little bitty fellow. He said, I'm no man, a worm. See? But now Jesus himself, when he was crucified and put in the grave, he rose on the third day. God raised him up and set him on the right hand of his majesty on high and sent back the Holy Spirit, which is to represent him in the same way that he was here on earth until he comes again. That Spirit was given to the church. Now let's trace his life just a little bit and see what, if he say, sirs, we would see Jesus. Let's go back and see what he was. And I want to ask you now, what he was then, he's got to be the same today. What his ministry was then, if the Holy Spirit brings his ministry today as it did then it's got to be the same type of ministry. And if a man professes to be a Christian, has got to live that same Christ-like life. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, it'll certainly do the same works that Christ did. What if I told you tonight that the Spirit of John Dillinger was in me? Why, you look for big guns, and I'd be a dangerous person to stand before. What if I told you the spirit of some famous artist was in me? You'd expect me to get out there and paint these hills and scenes and white clouds over these New England states here just like the artist would do if his spirit was in me. Is that true? If I told you the spirit of Christ is in me, then the spirit of Christ has to operate the same way that it did in Christ. If it isn't, then the spirit of Christ doesn't lead me. I'm led by some other spirit. But if the spirit of Christ is in you, then you're Christ-like. You become Christ's disciple. And there's where people today look upon different emotions of shouting and joining church and things like that to take the place of education, a denomination, or something on that sort to take the place of Christianity. It'll never take the place. It can't do it. It's a Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, notice, let's follow Jesus in his life's journey and find out. Now, you get your pencils and paper. We'll probably go into it in detail more each night, but if the Lord leads. But let's go into the life of Jesus Christ and find out the type of person he was then, what type of person he was then. He'll have to be the same today if he has raised from the dead. That ought to be clear enough that any of us would understand. Now, let's go back to the beginning of his ministry. Of course, we know he was born to virgin birth, conceived by the Holy Ghost in the wombs of Virgin Mary, and came forth as a child, and was age of 12, we find him at the temple. At the age of 30, we find him being baptized at the Jordan by John. And he stood right among them, and they didn't know it. John said, there's one standing among you now that you don't know who would prefer before me. He's right among you, and his shoes, I'm not even worthy to loose. You call me a prophet, but I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. There's the Jesus standing there, but the sign hadn't come yet. And one day John looked up, and he saw a light, like a dove, coming down. John said, I didn't know him, but he in the wilderness said, upon whom you see this sign descending, that's the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. John said, why comest thou unto me? I have need to come to you. When the Messiah sign was shown to the first person outside of the shepherds and the magi was John the Baptist. He saw this boy. After John going into wilderness at the age of 9 years old, never went off to some seminary now, he went to pray and come out of the wilderness. Poorly looking fellow, piece of sheepskin wrapped around him with a leather camel skin belt on, furred over his face, and probably he come to your door begging you to call the police on him. Come stomping out of the wilderness, but preach repentance till it's turned all the region. Amen. Notice, and he gets in. I don't know who he is, but there's one among you somewhere. I'm not worthy to bear his shoes. I couldn't unloose his shoes. He's standing here. Look what a great instant that was. All the prophets all the way back from the Garden of Eden had spoke of this event. The Bible said that the mountains would skip like little rams, and all the leaves would clap their hands, and all the high places would be brought low, and the low places would be brought high, and the rough places made plain. Look what them Jews look for. Look how simply come. Amen. What happened? It looked like there'd be a host of angels come down in golden chariots packing someone along. But it wasn't. That's where they were fooled. What man calls great, God calls foolish. And what man calls great, God calls foolish. What God calls great, man calls foolish. What kind of inauguration would this be? Here an old burly, not a rabbi, not a priest, but an old woodsman with a piece of sheepskin girdle around him with a stick in his hand, stomped out there on the wilderness banks out there at Jordan and preached repentance. And they stood in the muddy banks of the Jordan. Where was the mountain skipping? Like little rams and the leaves clapping their hands.
We'll try to catch that a little later this week. I'll show you in the scripture what will happen. But he said there's one among you, one saying, I don't know him yet. But when he saw a sign, a light coming from heaven, circling down in the form of a dove, and it went up on him, John said, that's him. That's him. I knew him because there was a sign over him. John straightly testified, I knew him not. But he that said to me in the wilderness, go baptize the water, set up on whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain, that's the one that will baptize the Holy Ghost. He knew him by the sign that God gave him. Now, if God raised his son from the dead, we got a right to look for the sign of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised it to us. And we got a right for it. He went into the wilderness, was tempted for 40 days by the devil. The devil wanted to do something for him. He said, I tell you, if you're a Messiah, you're a miracle worker. Let's see you do a miracle here before me now. Now you turn these stones to bread because you're hungry, and you eat it. Turn these stones to bread. Do a miracle before me, and I'll believe you. Now that same spirit is on man today. Hung on the cross and said, dying. He said, if thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross and we'll accept you. We'll believe it. But he could see visions, so he put a rag around his head and hit him on the head with a stick and said, now you prophesy, tell us who hit you. See that same devil? Working right, still right in the church. A man not long ago give $1,000 to any man that would show one miracle that had been performed, any kind of sign of healing. Just happened to be, I had a broadcast that morning. I took two doctors and two people that are both being cured by divine healing. One of them was a cripple and the other was cancer. Knocked on his door and asked for it. He said, we'll have to take it to Abilene, Texas. And said, we'll take a little child and we'll cut that child's arm with a knife or something. And then you heal it before we brothers and we'll pay off. I said, you need healing worse than anybody I've ever seen. Mental healing. Right. I said, it shows you're mentally crippled. Same old spirit. Do it here before me and let me see it. That's what they said to Jesus. Jesus ignored him. I said, no, that's not a gentleman. You said you'd pay off, and here they are, and here's the doctors to prove it. But I said, I'll just turn the check over to the missions overseas. But he wouldn't do it. Of course he would. And so that, you just can't, don't pay attention to it. So if you notice, when our Lord Jesus, the first thing he began to do, let's watch now for a few minutes. Let's follow his blessed life. And we see what he was then. He has to be the same today in his church. If he isn't, he hasn't raised from the dead. If he is raised from the dead, he's obligated to do it. As Christian believers. For he said he would do it. And he's obligated to his word. And he can't take his word back. He's God, and he can't take his word back. He's got to keep his word. Now watch him. First thing we see him do, going about praying for the sick. Great success started. Let's turn, you have to see, you get your Bible. Turn to St. John. We'll stay in St. John tonight for a while. All right, St. John, the first chapter. We'll find out that there was many things that he began to do. His fame began to go about because his prayer for the sick began to do great miracles. Was performed. And now, the first thing we find out, there was a man by the name of Philip who got saved. The same man we're talking about tonight. Philip. And when he got saved, he wanted to find his friend. To tell his friend of something good he had found. That's a good sign he got saved. We ought to tell somebody about it. So, Jesus, if you're ever in Palestine and mark the places where Jesus is preaching, it was several miles, way back around the mountain over in another country, that Philip made his way over to find Nathanael, his friend. And when he found him, he was under a tree praying. And when he got finished praying, Philip said to Nathanael, come see who we found. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And now Nathanael was a staunch Presbyterian, Lutheran, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Orthodox to the core. And he said, now could there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he gave him the best answer any man could give. come and see. That's the best thing to do. Say, come see. That's the best way to find out. Come place your own judgment. Then God will judge you. Whatever your judgment is. If you're righteous, then he'll judge you righteous. If you're a critic, then woe unto you. But notice that when he comes to find out, he comes with Nathanael. He and Nathanael, Philip comes together several miles around the mountain. Jesus is holding the prayer line, praying, and Nathanael came up to him in the prayer line for the first time he sees. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Behold an Israelite, in whom there is no guile." How many ever read that in the Bible? Let's hear you. Sure. Now, if I say today you're a Christian, a staunch, real believer, and it strikes the little fellow. He said, "Now, Rabbi, or teacher, reverend, whatever you want to call it, when did you know me? Now, you never seen me in your life. And here you are. You ready?" That's what Jesus said, St. John 5:19. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verily means absolutely, "verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. But what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise." How many knows that's the Scripture? What did he say then? "I do nothing until first the Father shows me a vision on what to do, then I do just what he tells me to do." Listen, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," why don't you go down there and heal all that bunch? Why don't you do this and why don't you do that? He said, "I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. For what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto." That settles it. Then, if Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, "He that believeth on me," St. John, the 12th chapter, and the 14th verse, I believe it is, he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. More than this shall he do, for I go unto my Father." Jesus said, "A little while, and the world," that's the world's order, "the world will see me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I is a personal pronoun. I will be with you to the end of the world. I'll even be in you to the end of the world, with you even in you. And these things that I do, shall you do also." And when the disciples came forth, they did the same thing. Paul was shipwrecked, or not shipwrecked yet. He was out in the sea 14 days and nights, no moon, stars, or nothing. All hopes was gone. Never be saved. And he went out in a bulkhead and was praying. He come up and said, "Be of a good courage, for the angel of God, whose servant I am, stood by me and said, 'Don't fear, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and Lord God gives all these to stay with you to you. But the ship's going to be wrecked upon a circle island.' He saw in the vision and said, 'Wherefore, I believe God, it'll be just as he showed me.' Peter on the house, thought when the sheep come down, straight to go to the Gentiles. When Saul was stricken blind, when he saw that angel of God in the form of a light, and he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' He said, 'I'm Jesus.' He was a light that followed the children of Israel. He said, 'I come from God, or I go back to God.' And he said, 'I'm Jesus who you persecute.' What was the light? Same pillar of fire. But again, and he was led to the street called Straight, and Ananias was down there, a prophet, a praying, and when he did, he looked at a vision, and he saw him just exactly where he come, and went down and found him and said, told him exactly what happened on the road. He laid his hands on him, and he received his sight and the filled with the Holy Ghost." Amen. Is that right? Notice, if Jesus did those things in that day, and he has raised from the dead, and he is the same yesterday, today, forever, he's obligated to his word. Now, his corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is yet working through his sanctified vessels. And God has set in the church what? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists, then pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches, it's God preaching through him. It's not the prophet that sees the vision, it's God speaking through him. "I do nothing except the Father shows me first what to do."
That's the reason he had to go up to Samaria. That's why all these other things taking place. Follow his life and see if that isn't right. Now, our time is way past. But we want to call for some sick to be prayed for. Brethren, I say this and declare this is your brother in Christ. What motives have I got here tonight? What's my business here? Why am I here in Charlotte anyhow? I come to try to encourage you to believe on the Lord Jesus. I come to help you Baptists and you Methodists and you Pentecostal and you Nazarenes and every one of you, I come to help you. I come to say this, that the Jesus that you have been worshiping is not some creed or form. He's a living Jesus. He's with us. I'll be with you, in you, to the end of the world. And the things that I do shall you do also. He's got to keep that word. If that isn't true, then the Bible isn't true. If the Bible isn't true, then Christ did not raise the dead. Jesus, the one who claimed to be Christ, is still in the grave. But thanks be to God, he's living tonight. He's here in Charlotte right now. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, infinite. He's everywhere, all the time, every place. Satan can't do that. No, God's the only one who's omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. He's everywhere. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there with them. Let them ask anything. In my name, I'll do it. That's right or it's wrong. If that's right, then the Bible's right. If that's wrong, then the Bible's wrong. But if Christ promised to do these things and will come into this audience tonight and do the same thing, mimic his life right back again the way he did when you believe that he is raised from the dead and will accept him as your Savior and healer, will you do it? Raise your hands everywhere, if you will, anywhere. I don't say that he will. I've served now 23 years. I've been in the ministry at this time. Since he called me, it would have been since I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. But I didn't know it. My people wasn't religious. They didn't go to church. And so I would have known it quicker, probably if they had been. So you raise your child to serve the Lord and to know what God is calling. Then when I got with the church, they told me it was of the devil. And like scared me to death. Well, then when he come and told me, when he met me that night, and I said, well, my ministering brothers, he said, yes, that's the way they did it in the first place. Said when they was arguing what kind of buttons must be on their coat, there was the Magi's and they're out there worshiping you. And when Jesus came, the ministers of that day, the preachers, said he is Beelzebub the devil, and the devil turned around and said, I know who you are, you're the Son of God. The devil knew more about it than preachers did. Hasn't changed too much when it comes to supernatural. And notice when Paul and Silas come down, that little fortune teller, the ministers up there, said, these men turned the world upside down. They're imposters. They're terrible people, said the preachers and all the church. Get them out of the country. Well, this man ought to die. They ought to beat him and put him in the jail and everything. The preachers had that done. But when this little fortune teller, when she seen him, she said, well, these are the man of God who tell us the way of life. And Paul turned around and rebuked that spirit. He didn't need any help from the devil. That's right. But the little fortune teller knows more about it than all those Orthodox preachers. Right? Because she was more subject to spirit. She is a perverted. That's all. What is a fortune teller? A perverted Christian. You're all born to be sons and daughters of God, but if you want to give yourself to drinking or the world or any kind of deviations and things like that, that's up to you. Using it for the devil? Sure, it's where the devil gets a hold of you. When God born you here for a certain thing, to do a certain thing, and you let the devil get a hold of you. You were born here to be sons and daughters of God, but you let the devil get a hold of you. And you want to become glamour girls and poplars and everything else like that. Humble yourself before the hand of God so God can make sons and daughters out of you. Amen. I'm sorry to take your time like that, but you're a wonderful audience, and maybe I spoke too much or too loud, I didn't aim to. But I want you to know, my dear friend, that Jesus is risen from the dead. He's here tonight in spirit form. He's been here since the day he rose from the dead. Many people don't believe that. They didn't believe it back there. They believed they carried him out and out of the grave, and the hard people to say the same thing. And the Bible said, why did the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Truly, their last son, Jesus, our only child, stretched forth his hand to heal. Same thing, see. God never does take his spirit, he takes his man. He took Elijah, but his spirit come upon Elisha. Then come upon John the Baptist, predicted again for the last days. The Holy Ghost is up on Christ. It comes down to the church, on down to the church age. Same things that Elisha done, Elijah done. Double potion, that's the church exactly. Greater ministry you do before I go to my Father. A double potion of the Spirit, on down. The devil takes his man, but never his spirit. Real orthodox, stiff, Spartan religious that who wouldn't have it. Washing of hands and saying the doxology and repeating prayers and everything else, just as religious as he can be. But still the devil. Jesus said to those staunch, staunch teachers, nothing you carry on their life is, he's unholy. No, sir. They had to keep that law to the letter. But yet, Jesus said, you're father of the devil, because they called him an unclean spirit, because he did the very things that I was talking to you about tonight. That's the reason they said, he's a devil, he's a fortune teller, he's a witch, because he has that power, he's Beelzebub. May the Lord help us now as we bow our heads. Our kind Heavenly Father, this is your Bible I have been quoting to the people. Being tired and weary and wore out, I know I can't do justice with it, Father, and couldn't anyhow. But I depended to you, Lord. Take these few mixed up words from a hoarse voice, and I pray tonight that you're scattered across this building and ever sends your heart. Then, Lord, won't you please once more send the Lord Jesus back? Let him come, Father. And as we humble ourselves, as I humble myself and yield myself to your Spirit, may it come and speak. May the people yield themselves to the Spirit and their desires be granted. Have mercy on us, Father. We ask this blessing in Christ's name, the Son of God. Amen. If he does, then you're without excuse. Now, we give out some prayer cards. Where is the boys? Gene, Leo, or someone? Did you give out any prayer cards? Did anybody give out prayer cards? Oh, they did. Who gave them out? Billy? Where's he at? Oh, Alan, sorry. What'd you give out? From 1 to 50. All right? Who has prayer card number 1? Raise up your hand. Just look at it. Just a little prayer card. We haven't got one. Here's just a little square card. It's got my picture on one side. On the next, it's got a number. Number 1? Raise up your hand. Prayer card number 1? No? Listen. I remember your time. May I say this now? The prayer card is inexchangeable. You have to come here and get your prayer card for yourself. Now, take it out. Every person comes has to come here and get your prayer card. See? And get here at the building. Come here and hear the instructions the minister gives before I come. And that's where you get your prayer card. Now, of course, if you're called and your number is not... Number 1? You said 1 to 50, didn't you? Number 1, is it here? Number 2? Let's see. Yeah, all right, I guess number 1's one out there. All right, when you bring him to usher over that way... Over that way, you go bring them. All right? Bring them through the hall or any way you want to. So there, if anyone's crippled and can't get up now, when your number's called, we'll have the ushers to pack you up here, see? All right? Number 1, number 2, number 3. Anybody got prayer card number 3? Would you raise your hand? I can't see the balcony too well. Anybody's got prayer card 3? Would you raise up your hand? Is this lady number 4? Prayer card number 4, would you raise your... Where's that? I'm sorry, come not up, sir. Is it a lady? All right. If we've never seen each other before, just raise up your hand. I've never seen you. I don't know the woman, never seen her. She just said, just standing here, that's all. Now, this is a very beautiful picture to start tonight of a repeat of a scripture. In the 3rd chapter of St. John, a man and a woman met for their first time at a well. One was a Samaritan and the other was a Jew. And Jesus went to talking to the woman until he found where her trouble was. And he told her what her trouble was. And she recognized it to be the Messiah. Now, if he's raised from the dead, he can do the same thing. Now, the only thing that I knew about this meeting, I felt led to accept it. I didn't ask who was sponsoring or nothing about it. I don't know who was sponsoring, just a little... few-day meeting here, just to get acquainted with you Carolina people. And furthermore, sent me up here to meet this man. I didn't know where it was going to be. We come to this auditorium. That's all I know. I'm here. This is my first person tonight. That's all I know. I was born traveling miles away from this woman, I've never seen her. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's your spirit form. Now, if he will, he can, if I can yield myself to him by a divine gift, then this woman can have a repeat of that day up there. Is that right? It's a miracle. Now, may the Lord grant it, and all of his promise you would believe and accept it. May the Lord grant it as I talk to the woman. Now, lady, not knowing you and never met you and never knowing who you was or nothing, then there has to be some way that I have to know if I know why you're here for. I wouldn't have any idea. You're just a woman. And standing here, I wouldn't have any idea why you're here. But you want something, or you may be here as a critic. If you are, you just watch and that takes place. See, but I said, you might be. See, I remember that he wasn't. I don't have no way of knowing. See, but if it is, just watch. See, you'll find out. Now, but you being a Christian, woman, and are here for some purpose, Christ alone knows, I don't. But you are conscious that there's something besides just me here. There's something besides me. I want the audience to watch the expression on each person's face, and the angel of the Lord comes near. A woman's aware that something's going on. It's not her brother make her feel that way. Now, between me and the woman is this same pillar of fire you see right here, is right between her as now. Now, she, being a woman, me a man, not knowing her, never seen her, then God would have to reveal to me something. Now, if she wants healing, if it's sickness, or if it's finance, whatever she's here for, I don't know. But whatever it is, it was already purchased, and whatsoever she wanted, it was purchased at Calvary. The only thing he could do if he was wearing this suit that he gave me, the only thing he could do would be do the same thing he done back there. That's right. But now, if the lady will be, if God will grant his mercy, I pray that he will. I don't say that he will, but may he will. I'm trusting. She's promised to receive you. You all promised to receive you. And now, as the woman, if the man operating the microphone is still catching my breath, she's moving away from me. The woman is bothered. I feel with a severe nervous condition as she's walking, and the way she grips her hands, and she's extremely nervous. And another thing is with the woman, she's got a sinus trouble up here in her face.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's there for
that.
Hallelujah. Are you believing?
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. See, there in the past here, that's why the Spirit is moving on.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
All right, lady. That you know where that was true.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, if you just believe with all your heart, maybe you'd show me something else. What kind of being you're being the first patient. That would be, now, yes, I see you, being examined. You have real bad headaches all the time, migraine headaches.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I see you going in and out of the hospital, more than one hospital. You're going from hospital to hospital.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And none of them is doing you any good. That is best faith for all.
Hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you believe now? Who made heavens and earth?
Jesus.
I bless you that I am able to ask for all her help.
Lord, I know that you
in Jesus Christ,
you
might have been praying for your
glory. Amen. God, hallelujah.
You believe all of your holy joy.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you believe?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Now, you can't blame the woman for being all upset or disturbed. You'd be too if you were healed. Now, what healed her? Not me. Her faith did it. Just have faith. Believe. Now, be real ready. Be real ready. Now, the lady here, an aged woman, I've never seen her in my life. We're strangers to one another. Are we sisters here? I don't know. You've never seen her. But if Christ will let me know what you're here for, will you accept it and believe it? Or may he grant it. The first thing I see, if the audience can still hear my voice, she's shadowed. A darkness is all around the woman because she's suffering with cancer. That thus saith the Lord. That is true, isn't it, amen? Raise your hand if that's true. You believe? Now, just a moment. Let's talk to the lady just a moment. Lesions may be weak, as you can see. Just for the first night, I take my time. Whatever he told you. Now, you heard my voice, but that wasn't me. That was him. I just healed. And now, I see it coming again. It's darkness. It is the cancer. It's cancer. And one of them is located on your shoulder. Your right shoulder is where that cancer is located. Is that right? I go believing. Heavenly Father, I pray for the woman in the name of the Lord Jesus. Friends, amen. Have faith in God. Believe. So shall thou receive. How do you do, ladies? Suppose we're strangers to each other. We don't know each other. Now, you're just a bit excited because this isn't going to bother you. See, it's the Lord Jesus, not your brother. I'm just your brother. But it's the Lord Jesus to help you. Now, if I could help you and wouldn't do it, I'd be a brute witness. But if I had anywhere helping you, lady, whatever you're here for, I'd do anything I could for you. And I would, yes, ma'am. God knows my heart. I'd do anything I could. I can't. You see, more than just limitation as being born in this world as a child, I saw vision. And then he met me and told me that was his work for me to do here on earth. Everybody don't believe it. They didn't believe him, so I must be believing me less. But you're conscious that there's just a little something strange at this time. Kind of a humble, sweet feeling right around you. Isn't that right? That's this angel of the Lord that you see on the picture. Now, that what you see on the picture is right where you are now. Of course, being this, I call it dimension or channel that I'm in, I see it. It's right around you. Now, as it comes to you, then he may reveal something that would help you to believe him, to know that he's living, he loves you. The first thing I notice as you begin to move away is your feeling of lack of spirituality. You're seeking and wanting and always, it seems even as a girl, seems like as a child, like you've always desired a closer walk that you've never have performed yet, never have come into that category. That is right. And I'm not reading your mind, see, but I see you even as a younger person. And that is true. Now, that's true if it is, raise your hand. It's yours. I see your life is just open before you. And I see you also, you're upset and beset about something. You're real nervous, very nervous condition. And then I see there's something wrong with the blood, or it's an artery in your body. The artery, and then you got a condition that you walk. It's a kind of a arthritis you have also. That is true. But see, you take a fall. You just recently had a fall some time ago. And it's kind of upset you. You never have just felt right since then. That is true. Is that all true?
All true.
Then there's something here close that knows you, isn't it? Do you believe it to be the resurrected Jesus Christ? Then come here. What did Jesus say? These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Is that right? Then this I do. Lay hands upon me, my beloved sister, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will receive the desire of your heart. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, sister. It all turns right around you now. So you're healed, and you can go on your road rejoicing and thank the Lord. God bless you, sister. You believe?
Yes.
Only thing you have to do is have faith in God. Mr. But you're sitting on the end of the seat, you want to get that rupture, you think God would heal you of that rupture and make you well? If you believed it, you could receive it. It's up to you whether you want to accept it or not. You believe? With all your heart? That's it. Please, the Holy Spirit is right. The man lost his hearing, see, this moment. You got to respond to him. It left me. See, it went to the audience. I called the man and he didn't catch it. See, you must respond. Just as soon as he calls you, God doesn't want you angry. He wants you answering. See, be reverent. There's someone else in the audience that's praying. It's a dark, shadowed condition. Here it is standing before me here. It's a woman. She's upset about something. Looks to me like you can see that light hanging there. Here it comes. So this lady sitting here with a little brown-looking dress. Yes, she's worried about cancer. Worrying about it. That is right, isn't it, lady? That's right, raise up your hand. A little lady there, a brown dress right there. All right, lady. Don't you fear, he healed you of that cancer just then. Your faith touched him, and now you're well. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. If you're going to, what did she do? I ask any of you to pray. You were praying, weren't you, lady? That's right. That's right. See? Now have faith. How about you up in the balcony? Are you believing? I ask any of you. If I be the servant of God and have told the truth about God, God's got to honor the word that I told. I spoke of him, now he's speaking back to me, through me, that I told you the truth. If you can only believe. Have faith, look this way and say, Lord, I believe it with all my heart. Just believe it. Watch. Now as your faith moves, so does the Holy Spirit. I believe that this is the patient, sir. This is the second time. Excuse me, lady. I'm not beside myself yet. It's a weakening that he's... See, if it gets this going in the audience, there's 50 to 1 healed in the audience and what's on the platform. Of course, this doesn't heal people. This only brings people's faith up to accept what Jesus did when he healed them when he died. See, it isn't a healing now. It's accepting what Jesus has already done. See, everybody's healed. Everybody was saved in the atonement, but you have to accept it. Now, there's your faith. It's a little lady sitting with her glasses on, praying with a little gray coat on. About two people behind this woman who just prayed for her. She's suffering with diabetes and wants to be healed. That's right. You put your hand up, lady. That's true, isn't it? Raise your hand like this to the audience if that's true. You were praying and said, Lord, let him call me. If that's right, raise your hand like this. There you are. How do I know your prayer here? It's Christ. It's raised from the dead. It's him. It's your faith in doing that. Believe it. So shall you be healed as you believe on him. Now, lady, you... Everyone should believe. Now, this lady standing before me, she has a trail of sorrow. She's very much disturbed about something. And that's about a man. Her husband, he's sick. You got a sick husband. That saith the Lord. Raise your hand if that's true. Have faith. Now, the man came before me just then, but I don't believe he's in the building. Just a moment. Be reverent. Everyone just praying. Look this way again, ladies. Have faith and believe in God. Every one of you. Just believe the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Just imagine seeing him standing over here by my side saying, you say this and you say that. And then he's taking, looking through my eyes to see something that's happening, it's going to happen. Now, as I talk to the woman, what was the trouble with your husband, wasn't it? That's right. Now, I catch your spirit again. Just like the woman at the well, that's what he was doing. He talked to her a minute so he could catch her spirit. You got nerve trouble. That's about a boy. It's your son, a backslider. That boy's caused you a lot of trouble. That boy's in trouble right now. And he's up for a trial. And that trial, I believe, is ruled out manslaughter. That's to be tried about tomorrow, real soon. That's right, isn't it? That's there at the law. You believe? Well, receive. As you have believed, so shall you receive. Praise the Lord. Have faith in God. Just only believe. All of you ought to believe. This is for an hour, if it could, if you just have faith. See, Jesus has already done the work. This is just his love and grace to you. Can't you know that he, Cleopas and them, he did something. They walked with him all day and didn't know it. But the way he did something, they recognized that that was him. Well, I tried to tell you what he did when he was here on earth so you could recognize the same way. You walked with him a long time, maybe in your church, and didn't know it. He's here. He's alive. He isn't dead. A lady, now, I guess this is a patient before me. Now, the woman's a stranger. I don't know her. Never seen her in my life. Is that right, lady? We're strangers? Now, to the rest of you there. If Jesus will let me know. Now, you know it has to come through the supernatural power. Now, it's your attitude, what that is, that determines what you get. See? They put a rag over his head and hit him and said, tell us something. See, but he doesn't do that. It's your attitude towards him. And I declare that it's him. The mechanical eye of the camera declares it's him. Science declares that it's him. The Bible declares that it's him. The Holy Spirit declares that it's him. And he's here right now doing the same work he did, and you're without excuse. To disbelieve me would be all right, I'm a man. But to disbelieve his works, it would be sin. And sin is unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. Sin isn't drinking, committing adultery. That isn't sin. That's the attribute of sin. You do that because you're an unbeliever. Believers don't do that. Now, if God will speak to the lady, she's here for some cause, I don't know. But if he'll tell her why, will every one of you accept Jesus right now as your healer, that'll just settle it. If the woman will raise her hand, that I don't know her, nothing about her. Is that right, lady? There's nothing about her. I've been 4 months in service, and it just weakens me, so I don't like to go too far. And the man is standing around me to get me just at any time. And now the lady standing before me, I don't know her, but I feel all disturbed about something. Yes, I see her going into a place that's a clinic or a hospital, something on that order. And she, there's something wrong with her. It's in her esophagus. It's in the, here she's, the food won't swallow down. There seems to be nothing can help it. That's the Lord. You believe, lady? Christ, Son of God, heal this woman, I pray thee, Father, if we found grace in your sight. Let her go home and be able to eat, come back giving testimony and rejoicing for the glory of God. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you, lady. Go believing now with all your heart. Would you send the patient? Now, no? I'm not reading your mind. I don't think that. That's sin. Here, I don't know this lady. Put your hand on mine, lady. If the Lord Jesus will reveal to me this way, what your trouble is, will you accept your healing? I I see a table and a woman moving away from it with her hand up. A lady's got stomach trouble. You're holding my hand. That's right. Raise your hand if that's right, lady. It's caused by a nervous condition. It's a peptic. Right in the pit of the stomach. When she eats, sour, it's bitter, comes up against her teeth, she has an awful distress after. She's suffering with a nervous condition from a time of the life, too. It's just what they call a menopause. Into that, makes her nervous from a lady's condition. And that's run her into a peptic ulcer in her stomach. Heaven, premature. Now, the Lord bless you, sister. For I'm rejoicing and happy for that, and both the conditions is gone from you. Go eat your supper. God bless you. What if I just prayed for you? Would you believe anyhow? You're a little bit excited, see. Not trying. But will you promise tonight that the same promise you made God that he would heal you unless you get well, when you accept it, if I tell you you're going to get well, you promise him that, I'll go on, you're healed, serving with all the Lord. Not reading your mind. Not at all. Heart trouble's not for our Lord to heal. He can make heart trouble well just as easy. Do you believe that? Then go and accept him. God bless you. You want me to lay hands on you, didn't you? That's God bless you. Now go and receive your healing. Let's say praise the Lord. All right. Have faith. Don't doubt. I'm a stranger to you, lady. But I see you holding the things when you get up in the morning. You got arthritis. That's right. Kind of shocked you, didn't I? I know your feet like this now. See how easy it was? I just go on your world rejoicing and be well. Can't believe it. Have faith. Little lady, when you moved from that seat a while ago, the black shadow swept over you. But God can heal cancer just the same as he can heal toothache or anything. You believe that? You accept your healing now? Come here. God's demon, you might have hid from a doctor, but you can't hide from God. Come out of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do believe. Let's say praise the Lord. Do you believe? Have faith. Look and live. Got something wrong with your feet and legs, haven't you, ladies? Sitting on the end there, praying. When that lady was healed a few minutes ago, something said to her, something real strange struck you. Is that right? If it is, wave your hand like that so the audience can see. That's right. See? I've seen you here on the platform. That's the reason I know you were there. Amen. You believing? Accept your healing? That you might know, the lady sitting next to you there. Look at me, lady. You believe me to be his prophet, his servant? You don't get high blood pressure? You believe Jesus Christ make you well? Raise your hand if that's right. See? Amen. A man sitting next to you that heart trouble. He wants to get all heart trouble too, don't you, sir? Is that right? See? You have heart trouble. Next man wants diabetes. You think God healing diabetes, sir? You believe? All right. If you believe, lay your hands over on each other. I don't care what's wrong with you. It must be not time to go over. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, I pray with faith and ask that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you heal every